I just thought of another. I thought of another reason why we can't put televisions in.
Why?
Because we're on it now.
Oh yeah.
We're on the telly.
You're not bringing me back out.
Kill our business.
No, not at all.
You can't take me out once I've won.
No, I didn't say programming. But you see what I mean. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you've just joined us, where the devil have you been? We're playing a little game this week to be slightly different, where the guys can put things they hate the most and dump them in the bin forever, which is a kind of a good...
Ex-wives.
I have not put that there on purpose, because we might have a bias. Anyway, we move on to category five of the programme, which should be fun, because we're going to ask Rach first, because I think she's brewing up to it. Rach, what annoys you most about television presenters?
Okay. Can I take an example from your homeland?
You may, of course.
All right. In particular,
not Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, he was on the list, but I've already done him. And I think Paul will just switch off the radio if I go on any further. All right, Anton Deck.
Oh,
officially the worst people in the world.
Oh,
hiding so much in the world of fakery that I'm convinced they are robots built by ITV to form a generation of people like me who hate everything and everyone and just want to stab forks into their eyes so they don't have to continue looking at the world shriveling into a giant ball of nothingness. They're like a Dick and Dom tribute act from another dimension, except they aren't obsessed with farting or strange psychedelic game shows, which was actually the best part of Dick and Dom.
Right. But Rachel,
okay,
Rachel,
yes.
Fundamental yes. flaw in your argument.
Well, what else is new, biased person, you?
You let them into your own country.
Yeah, but they did.
I didn't.
Out in the jungle.
Excuse me, I was not at the airport with a flag welcoming them. I didn't let them do anything.
But your country fellows allow them into your country.
Yeah.
Can I finish now?
Yes, of course you can.
Yes, you can.
I think you should invent a show where members of the public pelt root vegetables and handfuls of hummus at Anton Deck until they run out, and then move toward the section of the show where Anton Deck has to dodge oncoming spears while Deck tightropes over a pit filled with a mixture of lava and radioactive waste. Then maybe I'd watch them on television. But until that show is broadcast and I can save it on my Foxtel box, they will stay at the top of my most annoying TV presenters list.
Mm. So you're not a fan then?
No!
I think you're just an Anglophile.
Oh, Lee, what? Which TV presenters annoy you the most then?
Well, basically, all TV presenters. They just make me sick.
Ouch.
They just make me want to vomit.
Ouch.
They're all ex-buttling redcoats and light entertainment jerks.
Except for
Anton Deck. I think Anton Deck are really good. They're really funny. They're the new Malcolm and Wise, except that me and you are the new Malcolm and Wise. So they need to be the new other thing. And they do. I like Jeremy Kyle. What's wrong with Jeremy Kyle? He's good. And Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer's good. Jerry. They're really good.
You've lost the plot again.
No, I haven't, because I'm now going to...
Oh,
I'm
right.
No, okay.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Ryan Seacrest, he's another... If you don't already know who he is, then I'm sorry for bringing it to your world. But yeah. sadly, he remains alive. Don't Google search him, not unless you want your brain to explode from the stupidity of the poor excuse for a human being. No, don't do it. Don't Google, please. I'm telling you, I'll go on then to Google it.
Yeah.
Not right now, though.
So,
one little flaw, Lee.
I've not done it yet.
One little flaw.
The silly builders singing in the background now.
One little flaw in your argument. I was not a butlin's redcoat.
Yeah, but you're not a TV presenter either.
But I was. For years.
You're going to hurt Uncle Lee.
Listen, no, what I'm saying we chuck in the vault is Richard and Judy.
Right.
Who?
Richard and Judy. You must have heard of Richard and Judy. I knew Richard and Judy. My drinking partners a few years ago was Tony Wilson, who sadly died, who was a very good television presenter. A bit strange, but a very good television presenter. And Richard and Judy. Now, I knew at the time that Richard and Judy were having an affair. She's a little bit older than Richard and was quite attractive. But now they've built a career on the salaciousness of their past, and have built a career which is absolutely mammoth on something called absolute lack of talent. No talent at all. He is the most ridiculous, embarrassing man who's ever walked this earth, and Judy gets her biffers out on the telly.
Right. But there again, Lee, you see, we've got this same thing, haven't we? The same problem. With your nomination of Richard and Judy, wherever they went on the television, be it on ITV or Channel 4, I mean, when they went to Channel 4 in the UK, the ratings on Channel 4 went through the roof, demonstrating how talented they must be to enable them to draw an audience across. Whereas with that other pair... They rely heavily on writers. It's quite clear.
Anton Deck.
Yeah, heavily. And they are the people where, I mean, how many original ideas have they come up with?
I'm going to lose this one, Rachel.
As opposed to Richard and Judy, who on a daily basis were creating things and then doing it on live television. They were interviewing people, which is one of the hardest things to do, I know, because I've done it. Whereas Anton Deck, I mean, even when they go in the jungle, there's only a few bits of it alive, and the rest of it, the part two version, is done by somebody else. So Rach, you win. Anton Deck, down into the tubes.
In the vault.
Got it. Hey. Absolutely.
That's one for the little people.
Exactly.
They're so little. Anyway, we move on now, ladies and gentlemen, to my pet subject, and I'm going to have to really try and keep myself under control, because category six today on the vault is radio presenters. So, Lee, you can go first. What annoys you most about radio presenters?
In very simple terms, what annoys me most about radio presenters...
And no names.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he asked you a question and then talked over you. He did names. He named David Dimbleby when he was telling me about... This is the brief he gave me. This is why I've got it all wrong. He says, we're going to do room 101 and I'm going to be that David Dimbleby person.
No, I didn't.
Yes, he did. No. Yes, he did, ladies and gentlemen. No, no. And he also said, but I might be that scrawny bloke with no hair and glasses.
Who?
Can't remember his name.
No, because you don't know, do you?
Well, go on then, what's his name?
I have no idea who you're talking about, or the conversation.
There you are. So, this is what makes me...
So, are you
going
to get on to the question now?
I'm doing it now.
Are you sure?
Right, what? Yes! Right. I forgot the question.
I hate radio presenters that...
Because they are on the radio. Ha, ha, ha.
What, you mean sitting on top of a radio set?
No, that's childish. That was just childish riposte. Right. No, they annoy me because they're actually on the radio. And the bulk of radio presenters are simpering, ingratiating, middle-class oiks. And we're not naming names like Jim Hawkins on Radio Shropshire. We're not naming people like that because that would just be unfair. They are the most anodyne, boring, stupid people I've ever come across. People who want to talk about... It's like the Twitter of the broadcast airwaves. They are... I just had a croissant for breakfast, this, ladies and gentlemen. Now we have Bruce Springsteen, the boss! The boss! Oh, ladies and gentlemen! I'm just having a coffee now.
Try and be kind of succinct about this, because you've whittled off around it. What's the one thing that annoys you about radio presenters? One thing.
Their complete lack of talent.
Their complete lack of talent, right. Radio presenters have no talent, according to Mr. Banks. All postcards go to up north somewhere in England. Rachel, what annoys
radio,
you about...
Radio Manchester's good.
What annoys you about radio presenters, Rachel?
Okay, the would-bes, if they could-bes, who do that contrived, that terrible contrived voice when they're, you know, hi, and I'm trying to sell a bottle, like it's a really good weight loss
program.
You want me
to do this one? So it's just really fun like that, Doc Bob, because you know what I mean.
Yeah, and you know what I mean. If you, you need to play this radio track, and it'll be really good, and then go out and buy it on my iTunes.
Yeah, and I'm going to be sitting, I'm sitting in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean because I don't know which accent to use now.
Right.
What was that?
Smashy and nicey. Yeah, go on, Rach.
That's it. That was my big point. The contrived, fakeness, the fakeness of those would be's who don't know what they're doing. And hey, here comes another track.
Okay,
I get your
point, Rach. But you know, there again, we all have to learn somewhere. And let me just put it this way: when you get a new car, and you drive it the first time, you're not very good in that car, are you?
Oh, I'm brilliant. Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're the obviously exception to the rule. Whereas the rest of us mere mortals, you know, we're a bit clumsy, to be honest, when we're driving the new car. After a time, we get better and better, hopefully, and better, or we stop driving altogether. So, you know, that worries me a little bit what you're saying, because they've got to learn their craft somewhere.
Yeah, but you know, the worst offenders are I've been doing this for 25 years and I still talk like this anyway.
Yeah. Whereas Lee's problem is that, you know,
I'm going to win this one, Rach.
Lee's problem is that he thinks that radio presenters are, I suppose, arrogantly. Would that be right?
No, well, arrogantly anodyne. If you can be arrogantly anodyne, I would say that. It's the complete vacuousness of what they present. They consider that people actually are interested in complete inanities. Things about anything that has no meaning at
no
all.
Reference, yeah.
Also, they are all, to a man, scruffy.
Oh, right. I've got my joggy bottoms on and a T-shirt. Marvellous.
I've got
a little bit of a problem here because right now, Rachel is a radio presenter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lee is a radio presenter.
Yeah.
If we get rid of them, then the poor listeners will only have to listen to me. And that would be rather...
We're
tragic.
Not suggesting you get rid of good broadcasts.
So I think if I put any radio presenters in the vault,
we'll
have nothing to talk about because we won't be here and we won't be making radio shows. So I'm sorry, we can't put radio presenters of any calibre in the vault because we won't have any.
Then why was it a topic, you baiting man?
I know what it is, Rachel. I know what it is. I know exactly this because before you and I came into his life, he had a lonely little podcast just by himself.
Terrible.
And 7 now,
million listeners later.
Yeah, exactly. And off hour back, he's now successful.
Wow. I expect a big care package in the post. I'm telling you.
You have to wait 5 years, Rach, and so that's two more to go.
Me long service.
Yeah. So come on then, guys. What annoys you about the neighbours? Rachel.
Neighbours?
About the who?
The neighbours.
Oh, the Neighbours. I thought you said the Labours. I'm like, well, the Liberals aren't great either. Okay, the 20-somethings who live next door to me, I think they should go in the vault, and I'll tell you why. They're very noisy when they talk. I mean, I'm one to say noisy talking isn't great, but at least I say something that's really fabulous. However, the 20-somethings, let me give you a little bit of a taste of what happens next door. Next door, I hear them, they also walk very heavily. They're like elephants up and down their stairs, and it shakes me to my very core. In fact, a filling fell out of my teeth. Just last night, I lost a filling, and they have chats. They have chats on their balcony like this. I love this one, but this one loves another one, and that one might be bi, and they're very, very curious about being bi-curious, and then that one's really, really hungry because that one's doing the paleo diet, and blah, 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 blah. It's never-ending. So the 20-somethings next door, in general, need to go.
So you're just saying, if you've got a neighbour who's 20 years old, you want to put them in the vault straight away?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Lee?
Well, you shouldn't really get me started on my neighbours because I'm going to end up in court over this.
Generalise, dear boy, generalise.
I am generalising about my neighbours, right? This is a general view of my neighbours. The fact that my neighbours at midnight, go and dance naked around Rue Hill and cast all sorts of spells and witchcraftery across the universe and try to change things from a strange, dark, naked form of what they consider to be a religion.
It's on a different
That's
planet,
what
again.
Annoys my, me about... No, they do. They do. They all go out. This is why it's called the Village of the Damned. This is why it's called, because it is a cursed village. And nobody
can leave
this village. Of
course it is.
You're
living there.
I know, and I can't leave. I've been here for nearly 50 years now, and I can't leave because the village is cursed. And it was the neighbours who brought this curse on it by killing the apothecary of the old stores, and they danced naked in the moonlight.
So what you're basically saying is, put the Village of the Damned in the vault.
Apart from me.
No. Doesn't work like that, because you live there, you'll have to go in the vault as well. Can't do that. Rach?
Yes?
Young neighbours, in the vault!
Yay!
Gone. Marvellous. Wonderful. We're going to have to leave. This is for you, because we have, ladies and gentlemen, we have lots of categories that we're not going to be able to fit in, because we just are going to run out of time, unfortunately. So we're going to move on to film, stage and music critics. What annoys you mostly about film, stage and music critics, that sort of person?
Well, I must admit, I haven't been for a while, but I used to be a film critic and I used to be a stage critic and I used to be a music critic.
Correct.
And a food critic. So I've done all those jobs. And the beauty of being a critic in those terms is that you get loads of freebies. Like, you get to go to the cinema for nothing, you get to go to the theatre, you get food for nothing. You go, I was also a travel writer, so you got on holiday for everything. The what annoys me about the modern day film critic is the complete lack of honesty. They appear to rely more on the fact that if I write a nice story about these people, then I will get tickets to their next concert. If I write something nice about this hotel, I'll get invited back. Really, that is not a job for the critic. The word critic is what the job's about. I once criticised Daniel O'Donnell by saying that he's so middle of the road that he should be run over.
Yes.
That got me in so much trouble by his fans that I actually received death threats off Daniel O'Donnell fans. That was real criticism. I also
Wait, what
said,
are they going to do, poke you in the bottom with a knitting needle?
No, they wrote to my editor saying that I should be sacked for what I'd written about Daniel O'Donnell. And I once wrote about, you see, and this is why the critics today can't think on their feet. That's what you need to do. Most journalists used to write a critique before they went to the concert, right? So they'd write what they thought the concert was going to be about before they went to the concert. So having to write a story about the concert didn't ruin the concert for you.
Right.
I went to see Errol Brown, and I'd written something to the effect, the headline was, "Still sexy after all these years," and then it just said, "No, you're not, Errol." Right, and I went into the concert, and he was incredible. He was stunning. He was so sexy, bald and sexy. He was glorious. So I had to dash out and rewrite that whole story on my thinking, on my feet. Critics today do not do that kind of thing. They have destroyed the art of criticism.
Ooh. Rach, what annoys you about critics?
I think Lee and I are going to both win. We're going to have a double dunk into the vault because I'm absolutely 100% behind Lee on this. They have no imagination. They're great critics, such as Roger Ebert, for example.
Yeah.
They write considered and thoughtful critiques of the things that they watch because they're coming at it from a complete impartiality. They're not ready to just walk in and say, I think this is going to be garbage and therefore it will. And they also have an imagination when they're critiquing. The old school critics were great. Now they have no imagination. They cannot think for themselves. They've got a preconceived notion of what's going to happen. Even if they are proved wrong after the fact, they still write about how garbage it was. And that really grinds my gears.
So, there is a slight difference here. You're saying, Rach, that if it is the critic writes something wrong and they're proven wrong, they still do damn all about it. And Lee's saying they're all being too soft. And soft critics, as opposed to those which are wrong and proven wrong, don't say sorry afterwards. Is that right, Rach?
Yes.
Right. So we've got the bad critic, who doesn't tell it the way it is, and we've got the soft critic who just sucks up to everybody to get freebies later on down the track.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you see, Rach, I've got a partial problem here because, you know, if I say the new Bob Dylan album is a load of old rubbish...
That's an opinion.
I'm proven right.
No, you can't be proven right on an opinion.
Because my ears have told me so. But there again...
She's trying to hurt me now.
There again, Lee, I agree with you as well in that these people who suck up to everybody, and worse still, it's the ones that say, if I write you a good review, can I get some more tickets?
Exactly.
And I've actually been in a hotel in London where a national journalist said that to a senior executive of a company.
Yeah.
And I was so appalled by that. Yeah. I actually phoned his editor up, who I knew at the time.
What?
I phoned his editor up and I told him verbatim what had happened. Yeah. And he said, I know, Eric. He said, don't worry. He said, his card's marked and we've had so many complaints about it, we just weren't sure. But now you've told us, thank you very much, his card's numbered. And apparently he did get chucked out after a little while after keeping doing it all the time. So, Lee,
I
agree with you, the soft-soaping... non-critics who wish to get freebies in the vault. Bye-bye! See you.
One again, Rachel.
There
they go. One again.
Oh, my God!
You were going to. He's your mate.
Rachel.
Well, let me do young people and then I'll win.
Really?
Yeah, if you do young people, you'll be in a lot of trouble.
We've only got time for two more, chaps. We've only got time for two more.
The old people are after me.
Two more, chaps. That's it.
Two more. We'll, because we are magnanimous gentlemen, Rach, you can go, you can go with young people.
Thank you, because this is something beautiful that I wrote today.
Oh, right.
Young people.
She's written it all down.
I know, she's the SWAT, isn't she?
Yeah.
Degenerate creatures who waste their time with frivolities like Tinder, hyper-realistic Xbox games, and mysterious designer intoxicants. Their music is loud and annoying and sounds like cars crashing. Their clothes are ugly and impractical. Their hair is nasty and dyed in odd colours. They drive annoyingly loud cars and drive them badly. They can barely speak English and communicate in passive-aggressive ambiguity or slang. They have no manners, they want everything now, and they want it for nothing.
Oof! That sounds like me and Eric.
That's right, isn't it? Lee, what annoys you about young people?
Well, let's put it this way. Charlie Chaplin, right, once said that a woman falling over is not funny unless it's an old woman. And I was thinking, like, Madonna's got each of those areas covered now, hasn't she? And that's the difference, isn't it, right, between young people and old people. Young people are actually probably the lowest form of life on this earth. Yeah, what do they do? Spend their lives doing? All they do is use your money, use your house, use your car, use everything that belongs to you, go out in your clothes, and what do they bring back to the house? Nothing but tears, anger and snot.
Right, OK. So it's nicking all the parents' stuff and using it with no gratitude whatsoever.
Or
the Xbox community, as it were. I think
Xbox
that kind of summarises it, really. Well, you see, Rach, I've got a problem here because I actually work with a lot of Xbox community people.
I didn't just say Xbox, be fair. I didn't just say Xbox.
I was just picking
the
one.
Tinders, no, well, you picked the wrong one.
Give me another one.
The Tinderers.
What's wrong with PlayStations?
Tinder is an app for dating. Well, it's not. It's a pickup app, really.
Yes, which makes it even worse because most of these youngsters I work alongside Rach make apps for a living. So, you know, if I put all those in there, I've got nobody to talk to that's younger than Lee, and that's disastrous.
You got Beth.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I understand Lee's point of view.
See, Rachel. See.
Because, you know, a lot of...
I'm never going to win any of these. This is terrible. This is biased and it's heinous. And I'm going to throw my toys out the
corner. Like a child.
Yeah. Rachel's having a teenage moment. But you see, the thing is, Lee, the deal is normally, and this is a normality, no exceptions to the rule. Normally, the deal where I live in Slovakia is, you know, when you're growing up, the parents look after you. Yeah, they do nick the car and they come home a bit worse for wear every now and again and you sort of chastise them. But when you get older, they then look after you. Now, I know it's not the same in the UK, but it is here. You know, the clothing bits, Rach, they are appalling, aren't they?
I know. They're impractical and ugly. They serve like there's no excuse for it.
None whatsoever. So, and especially the way some of them walk around with their bottom showing out.
Yes, pull up your pants, get a belt. Yes.
I think this sort of fashion style. Alleged fashion style gurus who are young people walking around with their bottoms hanging out go into Rachel's vault of young people. Goodbye. Thank you. Yeah, you got that one, Rach. And I think we've got time for one more in the category. And we'll have to make this one very brief, so keep it succinct, guys. What annoys you about modern technology, Rach?
Oh, well, can I have a bash at Windows?
If you want.
Windows 7, 8,
7,
8, 9, 10, any of those. Oh, yep. Windows 7 was all right, but 8, I mean, I've had this thing for nearly 2 years and I'm completely verklempt. I have no idea how it operates. Technology is getting too big for its boots. It thinks it's smarter than it is, and it's making it very difficult for the troglodyte like myself to operate it. It's completely frustrating and it's annoying. There was nothing wrong with the way it was before. Nothing wrong with it. Yeah. So technology is also very invasive as a medium because you sit at a restaurant and people aren't talking to each other. They are just looking at their phones. It's disgraceful. Where's the art of conversation gone?
Okay, Lee.
Well, it is. I agree with Rachel 100%. And the problem with modern technology is, in very, very, very simple terms, it doesn't work.
Right, we're going to get one more in. Technology that doesn't work, really don't agree with that. But, Rachel, people who sit in restaurants texting other people, that really grates my gears big time. So those annoying people that in a restaurant, phones should be left with the... reception or concierge or whatever. So
leaving you gone.
Exactly. So, Rach, you're going to win this one on modern technology. People that are just rude with modern technology, go into the RTI vault. Goodbye.
Bye.
Boom, boom. And you've got 30 seconds each, and I mean it, just 30 seconds. Free for all, anything you fancy, what really grates your gears, Rach?
Pedestrians, if I'm walking towards you with my dog and you've got three people walking with you, all abreast on the pavement, make some room.
Good one, Lee.
That was 20 seconds. I would just like to say, this is a philosophical point of view, right? Out of all the people that there ever were in the world, right, almost all of them are dead, right? Yeah. So that means that there are more dead people than people that are going to actually die in the next 100 years. So really, what we need to look at is the fact that when most people have died, then dead people won't be left.
Right. I understood none of that.
Neither did I.
No, I understood not a word of it. But, Rach, I do agree with you. It's annoying when three people are walking down the path. You've got...
He's having his own 30 seconds.
And, therefore, you have to walk onto the road with a little dog or a big box in your hand and sort of... Where's the traffic?
I'm not invisible!
That goes into the vault as well. Rach, you've got to say goodbye.
Goodbye, Rach.
Lee, you've got to say goodbye.
Who won?
I hate to tell you this,
Lee.
It was even Stevens.
Bye-bye, everybody.
See you next week, boys and girls. Take care, everybody. And it's the news programme back next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.